beyond my highest joy, I prize her heavenly ways, her sweet communion, solemn vows, her hymns of love and praise. Can you say that? I really can, from the bottom of my heart, in all sincerity. Beyond my highest joy, that His loving kindness is better than life. It doesn't get any better than this on this earth. It will in glory. John chapter 3. As you know, this is the gospel. It's called the Gospel of John, the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Gospel of Isaiah. It's the gospel. What is the gospel? It's about Jesus Christ. It's Him. The hymn book. Him who loved us and washed us from our sins, His own blood. Everything is written about Him. It's Him. This book is all about Him. Everything He said, everything He did, what He came to do. It should fill us with wonder and love and peace. We should have peace. This whole book, every line, every page is good news. Good news. If you're a sinner, if you need Christ, begins in verse 22. After these things came Jesus, after talking to Nicodemus. He came, the disciples, into the land of Judea, and there He tarried with them, baptized. After these things, the Lord Jesus Christ came, and He came and He tarried with His disciples. He came into Judea, He came into Capernaum, He came into Galilee. He came. God came down from heaven to this earth. He came. He tarried. He stayed a while. 33 years for Him was like an eternity in this place. But because of His love for His people, He came. He tarried with them. Who were they? Huh. Mary Magdalene. The likes of her, you know. Matthew, publican, sinners. That's who He came for. Christ came. He tarried with them. He had the weight of the world on His shoulders. He had a great work to do and so little time to do it. And it says here, He tarried with them. He stayed a while. Remember the Lord was on the road to Emmaus and it said He made it as though He was go past. What? Why? He's got work to do. And they said, oh Lord, please stop. Tarry. Abide with us. He said, okay. He will. Isn't that amazing that the Lord came to Rocky Mount, Virginia? Don't ever get over that. Because He's not in every city. He's just not. And He tarried here. He's tarried here. The church has been here. The gospel has been here over 40 years. 45 years. Aren't you glad? He's still here. Aren't you glad? For two or three with His disciples. Oh, you know, you and I, if we're busy doing something and our children or somebody asks us to stop and do something, we get upset. No, we go, I don't have time for you. Morning, we were grieving with a brother. We were at dinner the other night and he was talking about his dad didn't spend any time with them. And his grandfather's just like that. That's sad. Got no time for you. But our Heavenly Father, He made time. He tarried. What do you need? Yeah, I'll sit down with you. What a blessing. What a blessing. Amazing to me. You know, it's amazing to me that the Lord came, and it's amazing He stays. Because we don't have time for Him a lot of time. We don't make time for Him. I'm busy. The Lord's going to be here. I'm busy. I've got other things, other people. Oh, do you now? Why would He come back? Why would He tarry here when His bride treats Him like that? Because He's God and not a man as well. Oh, I'm so glad. Well, it says He baptized there, and it keeps talking about baptism. Verse 23, John was also baptized in another place, Enon, near Salem, because there was much water there. Baptism is by immersion. It's not sprinkling. It's a picture of Christ crucified, and we were buried with Him and risen. brought up out of the water, raised with him, quickened together with him. Well, our Lord did not baptize. Chapter 4, verse 2 says that plainly. But there it says that he baptized. Well, whatever his disciples do, he's the doer of it. You know that? It said that of Joseph. Remember that when Joseph was in the prison, that the keeper gave all the charge of all the prisoners to Joseph, and it said, whatever's done, Joseph was the doer of it. And our Lord said, go out into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's the confession of Christ. There's no option. Why would anybody not want to? Why would anybody not want to confess Christ? Are you ashamed of it? No. Go out. And he said, preach the gospel and I'll be with you. I'll speak through you. I'll speak whatever you do. I'm the doer of it. Anyone that's baptized truly confesses Christ, Christ did it. Though a man put him under that water, it's Christ. We're baptized by him, into him. Become one with him. Crucified with Christ. Baptism. John baptized. The disciples baptized. Baptism is for believers. Baptism is for believers. What kind of believers? What do you believe? You believe that you're a rotten, no good, worthless, hell-deserving sinner. That's what you are. That you deserve to be crucified. You deserve to be punished for your sin. You deserve that. But you believe, you hope, you need a substitute. You need someone to take your place because you can't get to heaven. And that's all you are. That's what you're confessing. I'm just a sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all in all. I believe that when Christ came, He came for me. I believe when Christ died, He died for me. I believe when Christ shed His blood, He shed it for the remission of my sin. I believe that when Christ was buried, I was buried with Him. I believe when Christ rose again and went back to glory, I believe that's how I'm going to get to heaven. By Him, in Him, through Him, because of Him. That's it. You're not confessing yourself. You're not confessing feelings. You don't wait on a feeling. You're confessing Christ. Do you believe Christ? Then you must be baptized. He keeps talking about it. They're baptized. Is it important? It's essential. It's confessing Him. It's like marriage. You know, baptism is like a funeral and a marriage at the same time. It's a funeral. I die. I should have died, but no, I live through Christ. You know, you fall in love with somebody. And salvation is to fall in love, for God to put His love in your heart for Christ, for the truth, for the gospel, for His kingdom. I love thy kingdom, Lord. Perhaps somebody in here was singing that hymn and it didn't mean nothing to them. It meant everything to me. Did you? I love thy kingdom, God. Don't you? Can you say that? Then God has put His love in you, shed abroad in your heart. Love for His Son, love for His truth, love for His people, love for His church, love to sing His praises, love to sing to worship Him. There's nothing you love better. And you just can't wait to leave here to go do it perfectly. Without an interruption, without sin. We'll all be singing. We'll all be singing at the top of our lungs, glow all the way in glory. Every one of us. Oh, hush, like Bartimaeus. Hush now. Thou son of David! Have mercy on me! Baptism, like you fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, you want to marry. I fell in love with that woman. I couldn't travel far enough. I couldn't get there soon enough. And if I left, I didn't want to leave. Spent hours there. I didn't sleep. Didn't eat. She became my life. Were you going to get married? Married. There's no question about it. I want to spend the rest of my life with her. I want her to be mine. I want her to be mine and me to be hers. We want to be one and spend the rest of our life together, right? Do you take this woman? Yes! Would you hurry up so we can go on our honeymoon? That's a fact. That's what baptism is. Do you take this man? Is this your... Yes! I want everyone to know it. You're not confessing yourself. Put me down under that water. Bring me up and show everybody what I really am. A wet rat. All the makeup's gone. All your hair, no. I'm nothing. He must increase. I must decrease. Yes, this is my Lord, my Savior. Look what He did for me. Least I could do is confess Him. It's nothing, is it? Nothing. Our Lord said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not, damned." Any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians, he said, let him be accursed when the Lord come. Well, so they baptized. John, they came to John. Verse 25, there arose a question between John's disciples, the Jews, about purifying. They came to John. And it was the Pharisees who it was. Because down in verse 1 of chapter 4, it says the Pharisees heard Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. And these fellows came, and what they're doing is trying to pit John. They're divisive. They're trying to separate. They're sons of Satan. They're trying to separate the disciples, cause strife and division. He's baptizing more than you all are. The people, everybody's going to him, McCain said. What do you think about that, John? He's got more people than you do down there. What do you think about that, John? He thought, that's great. That's what he said. He said, verse 27, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. Now, he's talking about not only Christ, like the high priest didn't take it upon himself in Hebrew, but he's called of God, and Christ was sent by God as a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Well, John's talking about himself too. A man can receive nothing. He said, I didn't volunteer for this. I'm sent. The Lord sent me. Our Lord said that. This is Elijah who come before that great day of the Lord. He'll send Elijah. And our Lord said, this is, John is him. Sent as a forerunner of Christ. Verse 28, he said, you bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ. You heard me say that. I am not the Christ. You see, every true preacher that's sent by God, every true preacher that is sent by God is sent to preach Christ. And he's not. He makes it very clear, I am nothing. I am not. He kept saying, I am not. Are you Elijah? I am not. Are you the Christ? No. Who are you? Nothing. A voice. This is every true preacher sent by God is sent to proclaim the Lord. A preacher is like that pole that Moses held up the brass serpent upon. That's the only use for that pole. You don't worship the pole. You don't look to the pole. You look to the one he holds up. You see? You bear me witness. I am not the Christ. I'm sent before him. And verse 29. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, and the friend of the bridegroom. He said, I'm just his friend. He standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He's come. And here's what he says. And this, isn't this us? Isn't this everybody, preacher and hearer alike? He must increase.
I? Oh, I. Don't you want self to decrease? Our Lord said that. Any man come after me, let him first thing deny self, deny self, deny self. I, me and my, got to die, got to get less. Until I, me and my gets lower and lower, and Christ won't mean everything to you.
Oh, my. He must increase. I must decrease. In chapter 1, they came to him and said, are you this? Are you that? He said, no. He said, he is. He it is what is? Everything. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, the Redeemer, the Messiah, the covenant head, the second Adam from above, the intercessor, the consolation, the salvation, the Redeemer, the Lord, our rock, our high tower, our fortress, our kinsman Redeemer. What? Name something. He it is. We're nothing. We're all forlorn, fallen women that he has come for. And that's what we're going to look at and finish this out with. In Hosea. He is all. This is every preacher and hearer and every true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ says, he is all. I am nothing at all. I have done nothing but sin against him. Like Nehemiah prayed there, didn't he? Like Daniel prayed. Like all of them. Confusion belongs to us. Salvation belongs to the Lord. I am nothing. He's everything. You know, if he keeps getting greater to his people, and the greater Christ becomes to you, the smaller and the lower and the worse you will become to yourself. The more you admire Jesus Christ, the more ashamed of yourself you will be. You know that? That's a fact. You feel worse than ever. Though not really. God's people aren't getting worse. But you just, the more you see of Christ, the worse you feel about yourself. See, the Holy Spirit does that. He convicts us of sin. Keeps convicting us. Why? So we'll see Christ as all. We'll see ourselves as nothing at all. We'll see Christ as our only hope. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Good. Then the Holy Spirit says, in him dwelleth everything that you need. Yeah, he must, he must increase. I must decrease. He went on to say, he's from above. He that's of the earth is earthly. Remember, Paul wrote that in 1 Corinthians 15. First Adam. Soul, living soul, is like animals and animated, but Christ is a living spirit, a quickening spirit, a different life, life of God. He that comes from above is above all, and he that's of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. But he that cometh from heaven is above all. Verse 32, what he hath seen and heard, that he testified. He's the true and faithful witness spoken of in Revelation 1. A true, you know, telling me this morning that if somebody really wants to know the truth, they'll find it. If somebody's really seeking the truth and a place where the truth is, they'll find it. God will bring them there. And they'll hear the truth. They'll hear the truth. What is the truth? Christ. And they'll keep seeing more and more. He's the whole truth. The truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. There's nothing else. And he increases to you. You want to see more of him. If you really see him, you want to see more of him, don't you? If you really love him, you want to see more of him. That's just a fact. He's above all. He's above all. You quit admiring people and things, and you become an admirer of Jesus Christ only. You quit defending every cause of man. You quit defending
anything and everything concerning man. You'll say like David, all men are just a bunch of liars. What you say is let God be true and every man a liar. No. I admire him. He's the only one worth admiring. He's everything. That's a fact. I remember people I used to be impressed with and in awe of and flesh. Rotten flesh. Take their clothes off and they're just a filthy flesh. Not this man. Not this woman. Altogether lovely. And blessed be God, the blessed promise. And look at verse 33. It says, he that receives his testimony is set to his seal that God is true. Brothers and sisters, have you received the truth, a love of the truth? Have you? Some people haven't. And they're going to be damned. And God sends strong delusions. He sends them religion and they're just all caught up in it. And they believe it just as strongly as you believe the truth. You know that? They believe they're right. They believe their religion is right. Strong delusion. God said, I'll choose their delusions for them. And they don't look to Christ and Christ alone. They're really not rejoicing in Christ alone. Really don't see what they are and who Christ is and their need of him. Crucified. And they're not preaching him. They don't know him. But you do, don't you? I've received the love of the truth. There was a time I rejected it. Time I didn't need it. Then there came a time, in God's time, fullness of time, I received the truth. And set to his seal. This is true. This is true. You know what he did? He sealed you. Been sealed, that's what Ephesians 1 says, doesn't it? Sealed. When you received, you trusted him, you're sealed. Shut up. Pitched. He whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, and God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son. You see who he's talking about? You see who he's holding up? You see he, him, son. Father loveth the Son, giveth all things into his hand. It's in his hand. Not in your hand, it's in his hand. Thank God. And he that believeth on the Son. Boy, if you believe on the Son, you ought to smile right now. Hath everlasting life. Not will have it. Hath right now. Right now. Well, I don't feel like it. Doesn't matter how you feel. You believe on the Son? You have life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. And the wrath of God. See that? It's serious. Serious. Well, I want to go back now. Here's the gospel. I preach the gospel. But you know, the gospel is the greatest love story ever told. Who doesn't love a good love story? Men are fond of saying, I love love. Women do. All of God's women do. Greatest love story ever told. How God so loved the people out of every kindred, nation, tongue under heaven, sent his Son down here. The Father purposed to have a kingdom for his Son. For his Son, a people, for his glory. A people whom he called the bride, the wife, the Lamb's wife, she's called, the church. And God so loved, God foreloved, whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate, purposed. Betrothed. He betrothed her. Betrothed. He gave her to his Son before the world began to marry. Verse 29, this is what John is saying. He that hath the bride, he that owns the bride, whom she belongs to is the bridegroom. You know, I thought about this. We don't use that word anymore, the bridegroom. Do we? Bridegroom. We say the bride. We say the groom, usually in that order. Because she
usually has precedent over him. Right? You know, marriages, modern marriages are like false religion today. Armenian religion. Well, here comes the bride. Everybody stand. Isn't she beautiful? I'm sure so glad. And he's standing, the groom, poor little groom, standing over here at the side. Nobody's paying any attention to him. And he's sure hoping she'll say, I do. Isn't that religion? In heaven, brother, in heaven. You know who's coming walking down the aisle? The groom. The bride's groom. Why is he called that? Because they're so one. They're inseparable. These two are one. This is marriage. The bride belongs to him. And she to him. But she didn't always, he didn't always belong to her. She didn't know it. Seemed like they'd gone their separate way. You know, marriage today is over 50% divorce. Approaching 60%. What it is two people, they say they love each other. Most of the time they try it out. You don't try out love. You either have it or you don't. You don't seek it. It finds you. Like Christ. God is love. Well, people, you know, they have their separate careers, husband and wife, and they decide, well, we need to marry, you know, so we legalize this thing. And they get married, okay, and they still have their separate careers. That's not marriage. That's not Christ. That's not the marriage of Christ. They become one. And everything they do, everything he did it for her. Everything she does it does for him. They're inseparable. No man's going to put this asunder. Can't do it. No. He's called the bride's groom. The bridegroom. Christ and his church. Church and Christ. Bridegroom. They're one. They're united. Inseparably. Oh, they have one. Both of them have one purpose. One career. Christ is our career. Bridegroom. They're united. He is called the bridegroom. And he hath the bride. And when there's a time he didn't seem like he had her. Go to Hosea with me now. Hosea, right after Daniel, book of Hosea. I said that for my sake. Hosea, Christ hath the bride. He set his heart, he set his mind, he set his love, his will, all his purpose to come and get his bride. To get the one that he loved. He's going to have her. He that hath the bride. He always had her. It didn't seem like it. It seemed like the world had her. Sin had her. Down. No. She belongs to him. He's going to have her. She's going to have him. He desires her. He desires her. She doesn't desire him. She sees no beauty in him that she should desire. And there is no beauty in her that he should desire. Why does he desire her? Because that's who he is. Because greater love hath no man than him. She's forlorn. She's fallen. She's held captive by everything. Everyone. She doesn't know it. She thinks she's free. She's totally captive. Sin, lust, flesh, anybody and everything that comes along, it's got her under her grip. Forlorn. God of this world has her. Self has her. People has her. Things have her. She's prostituted. She sold herself for nothing. Sold herself. And if somebody doesn't do something, she's going to be destroyed. But she's his. And he's coming for her. You know, the gospel's still being preached from this place. Our Lord said in chapter 3, said, the Lord said unto me, go love a woman, beloved, her friend, yet she's an adulteress. According to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who love gods and flagons of wine, and don't love him. Chapter 1, verse 9, it says, this is her name, not mine. Would you name your child not mine? You have a child, that's not mine. Chapter 1, verse 9. Laoma, it means not my people. Oh yeah, she is too. She just doesn't know it. Verse 10 says, yet a number will be saved. It cannot be measured. It'll be said, you're not of the people. You're not my people. It says, you're mine. You're sons. You're my son. Like old Ephraim. Leave him alone. Chapter 2, look at this. Now, the Lord has to do something to somebody to bring her or him to himself. He has to bring that person down. He has to open their blind eyes to see what they are. She has to see herself as she really is, not like the world lets her know, like she thinks she is. She's got to see herself as she really is. In verses 6 and 7, verse chapter 2 says, I'll hedge up the way with thorns and troubles, and she'll follow after her lovers, but she won't find them. She'll look for lovers, somebody to love her, but she's not going to find anybody to love her. She's not lovely. She's going to have to see herself, what she really is, what she's done to herself, and what she's done to her Lord. And then she's going to greatly appreciate what he does for her. Brother Barnard came into a town one time, and there was a young lady that was, parents were just distraught over her. She was just held captive by everything that this world does to young people, you know. And they came to Brother Barnard and said, Brother Barnard, would you please speak to our daughter? She's vexed by an unclean spirit, and we talked to her. We can't do anything. Would you speak to her? He said, yeah, I will. And he got that young lady off to the side. He said, young lady, he said, I want you to go home tonight. I don't want you to ask the Lord to show you yourself. And he left. Left town. Well, he came back sometime later, been a year or so. He was asked back there to preach, and he came back, and the parents came to him again and said, Brother Barnard, after you were here the last time, it's a true story. He said, after you were here the last time, our daughter hadn't been the same, but she's torn up. She's just torn up. She's torn up. She can't get any happiness or any peace or anything. She's not out in the world like she was. She's just, we can't comfort her at all. He said, would you talk to her? He said, I will. So he took her off the side. He said, young lady, I want you to go home tonight and ask the Lord to show you himself. And she did. The Lord saved her. I'm going to send thorns. I'm going to send troubles. Verse 8, she didn't know what all I'd been doing for her all this time. She took it for granted. She thought it was her lover. She didn't know. That's the scripture that it broke this rebel's heart. Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. To themselves, to God, to everyone that loves them, they just don't know. Would you open their eyes and show them what they are and what they're doing and their desperate need of me, of Christ? They know not. He did it as a thief right beside him. The Lord brought him. Thief, no good, wretched. His eyes born again right there. And she didn't know. Verse 9. He said, I'll return. I'll take away your corn, your wine. I'll take away all your covering. Verse 9, I'll discover your lewdness. I'll expose you for what you really are. I'll let other people see what you've done to yourself and others and to God. I'll take away her comforts. I'll expose her sins. Verse 11, I'll cause her mirth to cease. I'll stop her laughter. She's been smiling and laughing and cutting up and joking like it's a big joke. I'm going to stop that. She's going to start crying. I'm going to destroy her vines. I'm going to destroy everything, her lovers and everything. I'm going to visit her, verse 13. I'm going to visit her. Take away her jewels, all her beauty and all that. That's what the Lord's got to do to someone. You've got to bring them down. And I hear about people getting down low, 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 and I think, well, maybe. Maybe that's a good thing. Hopefully it's of the Lord and bringing them so far down that no place to look but up. Then he says, in verse 14, I'm going to allure her. I'm going to bring her into the wilderness. Apart from everybody and everything. You know, the church is in the wilderness. That's what it's called, the church in the wilderness. And he brings this forlorn woman into where his people are. And he says, and I'm going to speak comfortably to her. I'm going to speak comfortably to her. I'm going to allure her. I'm going to give her, verse 15, her vineyards. That's the wine, the grapes, the blood. I'm going to show her how the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses. She's confessed her sin. I'm going to show her. I'm going to give her a valley of acre, a door of hope. There's no hope in this world. Young people, there's no hope in this world. For happiness, for contentment, nothing. There's no hope in this world. But there's hope in Christ. Only in Christ. I'm going to speak comfortably to her. I'm going to give her a door of hope. She's going to cry. She's going to call. And she's going to sing. I remember so many things when the Lord was dealing with me. I remember, you know, thinking, you know, the prodigal came back. The Lord brought him back, and I heard the gospel. I thought, this is too good. It can't be. I believe this, but it can't mean me. And I, you know, people were taking the Lord's table, and I wanted to do that, but I hadn't been confessed him yet. I don't know why. I just hadn't. And I thought, I look forward to the day I can do that. And he impressed upon me, you're confessing. Confessing. So I did, and it's like he confessed me to me. I'm yours. And I remember first being able to partake of the Lord's table. I'm thinking, hurry up with that dish. Yes, me. I'm part of this. The blood, the wine, me? Yes, you. Sing. I remember, you know, I was forced to sing these hymns growing up. Sing. I don't feel like singing. Sing. As I said, I hope one day these young people say it from the heart. Nobody will have to tell them to sing. But they'll want to sing from the heart. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on the Lord Jesus' name. Oh, don't you love that? There was a time I didn't love that. I couldn't sing that. Couldn't wait to get out and sing the song of the drunkard, right? Oh, now, Kelly. Sing his song. Sing. Sing. I make her sing. She's going to sing. Then I'm going to call her, verse 16. She's going to call me Ishai, my husband. My husband. In verse 19, he said, I betroth her. I betroth her to me forever. Betrothed in righteousness, judgment, loving kindness, and mercy. Yes, I'll betroth thee unto me. You're mine. not your own, you bought with a price. In faithfulness, thou shalt know the Lord. And it come to pass, I will hear. I will hear. I'm going to call for every goodness to come your way. I took it all away, and I'm going to give it all back. 100-fold. To my beloved, you're going to be a joint heir with me, Christ said. Everything I have is yours. You just wait and see. Verse 23, I'll sow her unto me. I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. I'll say to them that were not my people, you're my people. And they're going to say, you're my God. This is my Christ. Would you go back to, go back to Isaiah again. You want to read this again for the first time? Isaiah 54. Maybe it'll mean more to you now. Okay. Isaiah 54. He says, talks about the barren woman. Nobody and nothing. He said, oh, enlarge your tents. You're going to have a family like you didn't know you had. Those that didn't have children, you're going to have children, all right. You're going to be among them, with them, forever. All of you. Yeah. My, because he says, you're not going to be put to shame. Though you're ashamed of yourself, you're not going to be put to shame. You're going to forget the shame of your youth. Because I have, Christ, God said, I have forgotten their sins and their iniquities. I remember no more. No more. Nope, you won't remember that. Your maker is your husband. Verse 5. The Lord of hosts is his name. The Redeemer, the God of the whole earth. That's him. The Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken. Grieved in spirit. A wife of youth. You know what the next chapter in John is, don't you? After John 3. He goes and sits on a well. He's waiting on a woman. The bridegroom goes. He's got a forlorn woman in Samaria. I must needs go through Samaria. Why, Lord? One of my forlorn wives. That's who I came for. That's why he came to earth. This is Gomer. Come for his Hosea's, and they're everywhere. They're everywhere. Thy maker's thy husband. Call, verse 6. The Lord has called thee as a forsaken woman, a wife refused, like that woman. Five husbands. Well, I've got another one. He's the right one. Yeah, right. For a small moment. This trouble, this trial is just for a moment. All the grief, the reproach, everything in this life lasts but for a moment. But with great mercies, everlasting kindness. And he said, this is like the waters of Noah. It'll not cover you. When the overflowing scourge of his wrath comes nigh, it won't come nigh you. Verse 10, I've made a covenant. Covenant of peace concerning thee. I am going to have mercy on you. You're mine. For it. And you know, this is not a fairy tale. Simon Peter said, this is no cunningly devised fable. He come for his bride, and they are someday going to live happily ever after. That's a fact. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more sin. Because Christ is faithful. He's the bride's groom. The bridegroom. And you're not going to, he's going to have her. Oh, that's my prayer. That's my prayer for you, for your children, for your grandchildren, for me and mine. Lord, please, come get them. They may not be yours. Come, make them yours. Okay, Brother John, you come.